be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands, and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, we continue today our study of the word of God, particularly from the prophet Isaiah, as we focus our thoughts on the glory of what God did in sending his son, Jesus Christ. It is the second Sunday of Advent. Advent is a time that focuses our minds on the celebration of the coming of Christ. It gives us somewhat a bigger picture of what Christ did. Advent reminds us that the Christmas story is not only about Luke 2, but that God from the beginning had planned a redemption for his people. God from the beginning had planned to send his son in the fullness of time. And we mark that and we celebrate that, particularly this year from the prophet Isaiah. The prophet last week gave us the picture of comfort, that Christ's advent, his coming, brings comfort to his people. Isaiah 40, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Your sins have been paid for completely. This morning we look to Isaiah 35, a picture of God bringing life to his people. I have to confess, I don't preach often from the prophets, but they are so beautiful. Isaiah in particular uses such picturesque language to teach us such wonderful lessons. This morning we have the picture of life coming to the desert, of life coming to those who are weak, and of that life being given particularly to the redeemed, to the people of God. The prophet begins, "The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus." Now, we mentioned last week just a bit that the desert for Israel was a symbol, was a place of lifelessness, a symbol of death, a symbol of curse. There are not many plants that live in the desert. There are not many animals that live in the desert. Oh, there are a few that scurry around. The scorpions, the rattlesnakes, a few of the of those type of creatures. But there's not a lot of life in the desert. It's a place of barrenness, a place of dryness, a place of for Israel, judgment. As they were to wander in the desert for 40 years as a symbol of God's judgment upon them. And during that time, that whole generation died out. The desert conjures up for Israel the picture of judgment, lifelessness, and death. And to this place, God brings life. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. the desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. These beautiful pictures of this barrenness suddenly coming to life. And there being vegetation, and not just plain vegetation, but blossoming like a crocus, like a beautiful flower. They shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and with singing. And the picture goes on. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it. Now, Lebanon was that place where there were huge forests growing up, forests of cedars. It was a picture of God's lavish blessing. And that lavish blessing now given to the place of barrenness. It would be like Lebanon. We might say it would be like the desert becoming like the redwood forest. If you've been to California, you see the beautiful redwood trees that seem to reach up eternally to the sky. That glory given to the place of barrenness. Life amidst death. The majesty of Carmel and Sharon. Now maybe you're Canaanite geography isn't quite what it should be. Carmel and Sharon were those beautiful lands in Phoenicia, glorious and lush. We might say, maybe a little bit with prejudice, the desert becomes like the Pacific Northwest, like Northwest Washington, like Linden, Washington. A beautiful, lush place to be. And that glory is given to the desert. Life amidst death. A picture of what would happen when the glory of God would come among His people. Verse 6, last half of verse 6. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand becomes like a pool and the thirsty ground springs of water. There is something that has to happen to the desert to bring life there. Water must be given. Something unnatural must take place for this life to come forth. Something unnatural has to happen. Water given to the desert in order for it to spring forth and streams to flow and the burning sands become a pool. And the prophet points our eyes to our own sinful condition. The barrenness, the desolateness, the coldness of our own hearts, the death that resides there left to ourselves. For us to have life, something must happen. Water must be given. Something external must be given. Something miraculous must be given. And that miraculous gift is the gift of Jesus Christ and His Spirit that now resides in the hearts of His people. Life is given among the dead. That's the picture Isaiah gives us. That's the reminder of what Christ did in His coming. He came to give life to the dead. He came to give up His own life that we might have life. It is miraculous. It is a miracle like water in the desert. And we are now allowed to blossom abundantly, rejoice and sing like Lebanon, like Carmel, like Sharon. And all of these glorious pictures, a picture of what Christ does for us. The physical realities point to a spiritual reality and what God has done in our hearts. That's what we celebrate this time of year. Christ came to give life and life abundantly in the desert where there was only death. The prophet gives us a second picture. He says in verse 3, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Kids, maybe you, maybe grandpa and grandma live nearby, and sometimes you're over at grandpa and grandma's house, and grandma is trying in the kitchen to open a jar of jelly or something, and she can't quite open it. And so she gives it to your mom and dad and says, would you please open this for me? Grandma's hands have gotten kind of feeble and kind of weak. And they can't quite do what they used to do. And the prophet uses that as a picture of what happens when Christ comes. There is a strength that is given to those who are weak. Maybe you used to go for a walk with Grandpa all the time. I know when I was growing up, I used to walk with my dad all the time. And kids would walk with Grandpa. But Dad's legs have become kind of weak. He walks with a cane now at times. He can't quite get around like he used to. Maybe Grandpa and Grandma are like that, kids. Their knees have become feeble. And yet, the picture we're given is that those with weak hands and feeble knees are strengthened when God comes with His blessing. God comes and takes those who are weak, those who are feeble, and He gives them abundant life and strength. He goes on to say, those who have an anxious heart, say to them, be strong, fear not. Again, the physical points to the spiritual. We understand weak hands. We understand feeble knees. There are those who are anxious of heart. Our hearts are burdened. We are concerned, afraid, worried about the future. And God comes and says, be strong, fear not, for I have come. Christ comes and gives life and gives strength. He gives persistence. He gives perseverance to those weak and feeble hearts and says, be strong, fear not. Fear not. Have you ever noticed how many times fear not occurs in the Christmas story? When the angel came to Mary to tell her that she was going to bear the Son of God, he begins, fear not, you have found favor with God and man. Fear not, don't be afraid. When the angel comes to Joseph to speak with him, he says, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Do not be afraid, fear not. When the angels come and give their message to the shepherds, fear not, for today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. Fear not. Those glorious words of Christmas. Do not be afraid. They answer the words spoken so much earlier in the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve fell into sin, what did they do? They hid themselves and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden, and He calls out to them and they said, we hid ourselves. They were afraid. And for so many years, mankind afraid of the coming of God. Mankind afraid of the God who would come in judgment. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come to judge. But what does the prophet say? He will come and save you. Fear not. Christ would come and enter the world, but He would come to His own to redeem them, to save them, to give them life. Fear not. Be strong. You who are anxious of heart. Sometimes our sin becomes so overwhelming. We wonder, could God forgive us? Could God forgive the things we have done? Oh, we know He can forgive the person sitting next to us. We know He can forgive those across the aisle from us. But what I have done is an offense to Him. Could God forgive me? Advent reminds us that when Christ comes, be strong and fear not, for God has come to save. And He saves abundantly. Verse 5, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. Isn't that exactly what happened when Christ came? He came and He made the blind see. He came and He made the deaf hear. He came and He made the lame walk. He came and He made the mute speak. Christ in His miracles did exactly what the prophet said He would do. He brought restoration, He brought life, and He brought it abundantly. And again, those physical pictures point us to a spiritual reality. Christ came not, first of all, to do miracles, but He came to declare the way of God, and the kingdom was here now. And those physical miracles pointed to a spiritual reality. He came to open up the blindness of our hearts. Those who were blind to the things of God, who would not look for a Savior, He came and He opened their eyes to see the glories of Christ. Those whose ears were stopped towards the things of God, Christ comes and opens the ears that we might hear the glorious words of salvation. Those who are lame, unable to do anything to save themselves, Christ comes and gives new life. And the tongues that were silent now sing for joy. Christ comes and gives life to His people. And notice, He gives life abundantly and completely. He comes, and children, does it say that the eyes of the blind now need glasses? Does it say the ears of the deaf now can use a hearing aid? That the lame are able to stumble around now? That the mute can mumble? No, God comes and He redeems wholly. He redeems completely. The eyes are opened. They can see. The ears can hear. The lame can walk. Not just walk, leap like a deer. And the tongues not only mumble, but they shout and sing for joy. The redemption that Christ brings is total and complete and abundant for His people. We are those who are abundantly given life, not just meagerly getting by. But the prophet reminds us that when Jesus Christ came, it would be an overflowing blessing from God. Again, verse 6, the waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Not a trickle of water, but the waters break forth. Christ abundantly comes to give life to His people. Christ abundantly comes with blessing upon those who are His. The desert comes to life. The weak are strengthened. The dead are given new life. That's the blessing of what Christ did as He came, and we celebrate that this time of year. Christ's advent, Christ's coming brings life. Life to His people. Notice how Isaiah ends this section of his prophecy. And a highway shall be there. It shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up, and it shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there. The prophet reminds us that Christ came, and these blessings that He promises, and this new life that He gives, are not indiscriminately for everyone, but they are for the redeemed of God. For those whom He has chosen, for those whom He has called. From the beginning of the world, God planned who He would save. And in the fullness of time, He sends His Son to accomplish that redemption on their behalf. The unclean will not know about it, but the redeemed of the Lord shall walk there. He speaks about this path, this highway raised up in the desert. In the desert, kids, it's really easy to get lost. If you walk out in the desert, there are no roads. There are no paths. If you go too far and you get disoriented, you just wander around in circles in the desert. You can get lost there. But Christ comes and makes a highway in the desert. Literally, a place raised up on which to walk. And the path and the way is made clear for His people. Those who've been redeemed, this is how you get out of the desert. This is how you walk now. Not wandering in that place of death, but being raised up and given this path which is called the way of holiness. Not wickedness, the way of holiness. And thereupon the redeemed walk. Thereupon God's people travel. A new way to live, a path of righteousness and holiness. That's the calling to God's people still today. For those who have been redeemed, for those who know life from death, God still gives us a path, a clear highway on which to walk. He calls you to the path of holiness. Now, I think sometimes we might think the path of holiness is not... it's not the path you want to walk on. That sounds like not a lot of fun on the path of holiness. Not a lot of enjoyment on the path of holiness. Too often, we would prefer to walk on the path of wickedness. That seems like the more fun place to go. What does the prophet say? On this path, on this way, no lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed of the Lord walk there. If you want safety in life, if you want the good life, no lions to attack, then walk on the path of holiness. The path of wickedness leads to the lions, leads to destruction, leads to all kinds of terrible things happening. But in God's ways, and in God's path, the path we have been called to, no ravenous beasts come up on it. Beautiful pictures of the prophet Isaiah. It is a safe path. It is a secure path. It is a raised up path. It's a path clearly laid before the people of God. Walk in the ways of holiness. And that is our call just as much today as it was to Israel so many years ago. The redeemed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is for the redeemed, for the ransomed of the Lord. Ransomed means to be purchased once again, to be bought back. Those who were sold in the slavery of sin are redeemed, are purchased by the blood of Christ. He came in the fullness of time to release us from our sin, to release us from our slavery, to allow us to walk on the path of righteousness. The redeemed shall walk there. And we read that everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall... the version says, obtain gladness and joy. But more literally, gladness and joy shall overtake them. The contrast being made, sorrow and sighing flee away. Gladness and joy overwhelm them. This is the blessing for the people of God. To walk in the path of holiness is to have gladness and joy overtake us, overwhelm us. Because we recognize... here is safety. Here is peace. Here is surety. No lions, no ravenous beasts. The way of God raised up that any can follow and any can find it. We remember that this Advent season. God continues to call us to holy living. He has given us life. He desires that life to be abundant life. And so shows us the path. And we as God's people are called with joy and gladness to follow in that path. To walk in the way of the Lord. Because Christ has come to redeem us, to ransom us, to purchase us for His very own. And as His own, He will lead, He will guide in the way of righteousness and blessing. Christ came to give us life. Don't walk on the road to death. Don't wander in the wilderness. There's a highway, the way of the Lord, laid before you. With joy, follow in the path of your God. Let us join together in prayer. Lord our God, how we praise you for your word, a word that is glorious, a word that is clear, a word that is picturesque to us in the prophets. We thank you for these beautiful images that you've given. Images of the place of death becoming a place of life, the desert blooming like Lebanon and Carmel and Sharon. The weakness being strengthened, our hands and knees and our anxious hearts, and our eyes and ears and tongues being completely cured as a picture of the full redemption we have in Jesus Christ. Lord God, may we with joy rejoice in Jesus' coming. May we with joy walk in that path He has laid before us, the path of holiness. May gladness and joy overtake us. And Lord God, send sorrow and sighing fleeing away. Go with us into this coming week, as once again we are called to live our lives, lives of thanksgiving, lives of gratitude, lives of joy, lives that walk on the highway in the desert. Strengthen our knees. Strengthen our hands. Strengthen our hearts, that we might with joy serve you. Hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.